Ready? All right. So good evening, everybody. We're going to call at 6 o'clock. We're going to call to order this meeting of the Board of Supervisors serving as Drainage District Trustees, talking about Drainage District Grant 5. So, Kent, what I would ask as you do your presentation is just give us 1 minute on the history of how we got here from March of 2016, and then you're going to present your whole report, and then we're going to have a conversation.
You bet. Thanks, Rick. Yeah, I'm Kent Rohde with Bulletin Bank, engineer for the Drainage District, and with me today is Tyler Conley, also an engineer, and Tyler
just passed his PE
exam. Good for Tyler.
Congrats.
He's pretty excited. But yeah, there's a bit of history with this drainage district. It was established way back in 1902, so it really all starts back then. But more recently, in 2016, we had an informational meeting in regards to some areas that were possibly draining into the facilities of the district and using them but not paying for their use. So that's really what initiated this, and at that informational meeting, there was resulted in a petition by Black Dirt Farms for an improvement to the district. And therefore, we as the engineer for the district have prepared an engineer's report and filed that in January of 2017. Followed that with the hearing then in March of that same year, and we investigated several options. One was the repair to the existing open ditch, and we found that sediment existed in that open ditch. There was erosion and problems with the side slopes, surface pipes that drain, that flow into that existing open ditch were being washed out and in need of repair, as well as need of tree removal and other items. We also looked at what I called the report from that year of Section 2 was a section of area from Lincoln Way to 220th Avenue, or 220th Street. At that time, we looked at two options, one for a tile option through that area, and one for a open ditch extension. Now, the open ditch extension turned out to be much cheaper, and I think that was the preferred option at that time. We also looked at extending the main tile up into and farther north into an area of that upper part of the district, which I call the upper watershed, and to drain those areas and provide the half-inch drainage coefficient. We also looked at the other section four was looking at a number of branch lateral tiles that came off of that main to serve those facilities or those landowners on the outside edges of the district. That's a brief summary of the initial report. At that hearing, there were some concerns also brought up that we investigated later. Those concerns were the Lincoln Way culvert. It was found that that culvert was believed to be undersized and causing backups into the district. We also investigated the West Main tile. There was an existing private tile that flows from that upper watershed area and into what I call a West Main watershed. However, depending on the storm event that occurs, water actually flows into both the West and the East watersheds. So there's an existing private tile that flows into the West Main tile, and the surface flows into both tiles. So because of that, we thought it would be prudent to include that West Main area and have a West Main tile to accommodate that water as well as water and an underserved and an area in that West Main area that has the need for some better drainage as well. We were told that that existing private tile is an 18-inch. Our proposed west main tile at the bottom end would be approximately a 42-inch, indicating, and that would provide the half-inch drainage coefficient. We also looked at water quality. Water quality is a concern throughout the state of Iowa. Certainly the nutrient reduction strategy is something that is a document that we all want to follow and do what we can. The unfortunate thing is that looking at this district, of this magnitude of over 10,000 acres, it requires a significant challenge to treat water in that watershed manner. Would be prudent to examine a created wetland. However, you need elevations, you need land areas that would be viable for that to occur. We did not find those areas that existed. However, there are things that can be done for water quality, and those are many, but best done on an individual basis. There are things such, of course, as cover crops, bio retention, treatment, bioreactor, buffer strips, and we actually looked at a water settlement and control structures on the inlets, those corrugated metal pipe inlets that come into the open ditch and bring surface water into the open ditch. Those slow the water down, allow for a period of time to allow sediment to settle out before it drains away. It detains the water a short period of time without damaging the surrounding crop. So it's a very short time to get enough time to treat the water to a degree. So we filed an amended engineer's report that addressed these items, including the linking of the culverts, the wet sand, and water quality, and some other minor things. And we had a hearing on that report in March of 2018. And shortly after that hearing, we sent out request for wetland determinations to all landowners in the district that have farmable land that would have ability to get a certified wetland determination from the Natural Resources and Conservation Service. We have received a few of those, but not near what we had hoped. I stress again, it's important to have those determinations before any improvement is performed. The district or us as the engineer do not have access to that information. We cannot request that unless the landowners provide it. So the penalties are severe if it's considered by the NRCS that any drainage district project would convert a wetland if you have one on your farm. So you need to address that up front. There are things that can be done, and it's important not to ignore.
I claim mine is wetter because of that tide.
And that would be an argument to the NRCS that that is the case. And
I asked the NRCS about improving that main tile, that Michigan tile.
And there are opportunities.
Decades ago, and they said, no, you can't.
There are opportunities to appeal those decisions by the NRCS, and there sometimes are timetables that require that. We can talk more about that later if needed. So we sent the wetland letters and we request more. We only have a few, and those are outlined in blue. I think it was blue, right?
Yeah.
Did you have that up there already? But here we are today. We then filed another amendment to the report because we were hearing wanting to refine our plan, our preliminary plan, which was kind of rough at the time, and wanted to look at where these tiles may go. Our conceptual alignments were just that, conceptual. Some of our elevations needed to be looked at. We needed to have a conversation with the city in regards to the Lincoln Way Highway culvert, and those were done. And we provided some much better design for a culvert through Lincoln Highway, and we have had multiple meetings with the city of Ames in that regard. We also looked at the main west main tile watershed, and again, we're able to provide the half-inch drainage coefficient. We were including not only the west main watershed, but that upper watershed, and we're directing that water into and through the west main watershed into an outlet ditch just north of Barilla, north of the railroad tracks. There's also a west main lateral one tile that would help direct more of those, that east area into that west main tile as well. That's really a part of that west main tile. We then looked at the east main tile and looked at the changes that would be needed for tile sizes, and some of those were able to be reduced because of the removal of that upper watershed area. Mm-hmm. With that, we put together some updated cost estimates again that reflected any changes that were made, and we provided the copies of those at the front door when we came in. Project cost summary. I think that is probably most pertinent here today. The other pages behind that are the detailed cost estimates that if you have any concerns and you want to look at that, that would give you tile sizes for different regions of the system. But the project summary is what really itemizes the project cost. Section one, again, is the main open ditch repair. And keep in mind that is a repair. There is no right of remonstrance for a repair. The Board of Supervisors, according to Chapter 468, are required to keep the facilities in repair. It's not a main, it's a shell. And there is no right of remonstrance for that. If it's determined that there is a need for repair, it is almost required that that be done. We have estimated the cost for that work to be $323,500 for a non-construction cost, which includes finance. It includes damages for the work that is done, potential crop damages. It includes engineering. Any attorney fees, and includes publications and those types of things, for a total cost of $544,000. That's those accessible acres. For all those acres that benefit from that, and if you would go to the open ditch one, that is the red line, is the boundary of that watershed, that shed that benefits from the main open ditch. And they would all help in payment of that cost.
Could you show one each of these sections with the lines on the map to confirm this?
Sure. Tyler is going to try and point those out with his pointer. There's a red line, that's the watershed line, and all of the lands within that watershed, and again, they're 10,797 acres
help pay. I meant like the open ditch repair. Where does that line
fall? Oh, I see. Okay. Yep. That's all the way from the outlet up to Lincoln Way, or just south just off and went to
the left. It's tough to see on here, but it's the deepest green line, the darker of the green lines. And I believe its color remains on all the maps.
So then on section 2 is an area between Lincoln Highway and 220th Street. That's what we call the main open ditch extension. And that is essentially digging a new ditch to replace that portion of tile. There are costs associated with that of $221,000 to do that work. There's work across the city-owned highway of Lincoln Way. That cost for the culverts planned to be going in there would be $268,500. And we are proposing twin 10x8 culverts to replace a 5x5 culvert. The twin 10x8s would meet the drainage standards for DOT roadways. Division 3 work on the railroad is estimated at $467,500. That would be for the jack and bore underneath the railroad of a steel casing pipe. Then there's non-construction costs of that as well. It amounts to right-of-way purchasing, payments for severance, in finance. Engineering and attorney fees. Total cost of $1,263,400. Those assessable acres were $3,740, an average cost of $141 an acre. North of 220th Street is the East Main tile. Again, that is a tile improvement to provide the half-inch drainage coefficient. The outlet at 220th Street would be a 36-inch diameter reinforced concrete pipe, and then it would go down to 30-inch, 24-inch, and eventually a 12-inch at the upper end. That cost is $565,000. Roadway crossing cost for secondary roads would be $35,500. Non-construction cost for a total of $752,100. Accessible acres, again, is 1,346 acres for an average of $532. Onto the West Main tile. That is a tile that flows, again, from the upper watershed down and through the road and down and along, and we made some adjustments in the Elway Reuter property to avoid some planned development in that area and accommodate that. And so we're going along the highway generally down to an area where they decided to have a detention base. It show the area where the water actually surface flows both directions, Tyler. It's down.
Yeah.
Generally, well, up at that fence line going east and west there. So that tile is a 42-inch at its outlet. Going down, goes down to 36, 30, 24, 18, and then a 12-inch as well. We have $1,200,000 on construction with $29,000 for roadway crossing. Non-construction cost $275,000, including contingencies and damages, finance, engineering, construction administration, legal services and publications, and all those same type of non-construction costs. For a total of $1,503,900, over spread over 2,154 acres, average cost of $685 per acre. And there was a rough main improvement lateral one, which amounts to just a short, relatively short piece of tile that we believe is needed to direct the water to that rough main. And that cost is $165,000. There's a road crossing of about $12,000. Non-construction cost of $64,000 for a total of $241,400. Assessable acres of 488. Average cost of $469. The totals then for the total project cost, if you add all of those up, would be $4,304,800. However, the only the accessible portion of that would be $3,500,000.
I thought you were going to deflect water away from the West Main tile and send it down the existing Grant 5.
What we gathered from the last hearing was that there was a preference for more water to go to the west. There is still some water going to the east. No surface water would do that. As we had mentioned, they split up at that location that we showed.
Well, I prefer water to go east than to go to the west.
Well, we are following a private existing private tile that already exists.
But it's way under that.
And that's why we're increasing the size of it to provide the half-inch drainage coefficient so people have the drainage that they want and need.
Kent? I have a question about the costs in general. I went back to the March report, and I think I matched up basically four or five of these. Okay. And I noticed that there's a small increase. Was there a percentage that you increased the amounts given a difference of like 9 months between these?
Every time we go back to the plans and essentially the drawing board and refine the plans, there's some minor changes that occur. And any of those changes would affect your costs. So, and each time we do that, we try and update those costs. As we get into the final design from here, even if anything's approved for final design, I assure you there will be changes to the cost. Okay.
Along with those tweaks to the design, we also like to use the most recent bid tabulation information that we have, and those prices are always, as far as what contractors are reporting back and bidding on more recent projects, those costs shift as well.
Okay.
Keep in mind the original report was back in 2016.
Right. Sorry, I just went back to March of 2018. Okay. All right. So thank you.
Yes.
You're leaving the existing 18 in, the last one?
Haven't fully decided on that. If it's in good shape, there's no reason to get rid of it. If it's a turnout to the landowners, if they believe it is truly failing, we would then crush it in place. Otherwise, there's an opportunity to actually interconnect the two. Our tile is believed to be lower, offset and lower than that existing tile.
Well, if it is left in, then why would it be necessary to relocate the one at Rockville Wells to the east side of the property? If they got one tile to maintain and can't build over the top of, why would you put the other right side of it?
that's a good point, but that may have to be relocated as well. And yeah, that could be an issue. I would say there'd be, depending on, we haven't really heard much of a response other than objection that I think we'll get into later, that they're not happy with the project, but if things move forward, then
they're developing that land, as far as I know, they'd like to sell it.
Well, I would, yeah, but 19, well, that was then shortly after the drainage district number 5 was established in 1902.
Yeah.
It was probably done about the same time.
Yeah, but this was how this was set up as a mutual tile.
Okay.
Never been a tile district.
Yeah.
There's an outlet control structure in the National Tile.
Where's Mike?
Mike Cox?
Yeah, behind her.
It's in the back.
Yeah.
If I understood you right, no one has a plan to put a detention pond, what they call the retention pond, and drain this 42 into that retention pond?
Tentatively, these are initial preliminary proposals.
Well, we're done. Is it truly a retention pond or is it a purdy pond?
Well,
is it going to drain to zero when the rain is done or is it going to stay full?
We're draining it in that area. To be quite honest, that pond would not likely handle the flows of the place.
But if the tile's going to dump into it, it'd be a forced outlet with no overflow. You wouldn't get it drained to the overflow. So you'd lose.
On the south side of 220, if there's some complication with two water mains.
Water mains cross drainage district facilities and they would have to be lowered. There's easements required for any utility that crosses the drainage district easement and right of way. That facility needs to have an easement as part of that easement. They need to lower their facilities if there's ever any
improvements. They're above the 18-inch tile now.
Right. And for any improvements, they have to lower that.
One is the what's called out-of-order utilities now.
Chapter 468.186 addresses easements through drainage systems.
and the other one is City of Ames water line.
There's a number of other utilities.
The trial line always has priority.
Absolutely.
It's great that has to feel everybody else has to work around.
Absolutely.
Ken, how many acres do we need to need to be annexed into Grant 5?
Depends.
Okay, on talk me through it.
Which facilities are going to be approved? If the West Main tile is approved, all of that upper portion and the West Main area needs to be annexed, and as well as any portions that lie outside that green line that are not currently being annexed. And
any portions outside.
I don't have the total number of acres, but it's in the couple Tyler's, it's 2,000.
Yeah, I felt like it was right at 2,000, but I don't know that. Is that
it's between 2,000 and 3,000 acres.
So, Kent, let me, as I read through all this, so we've been dancing around this since 2016, trying to figure out what's going on. And it just seems to me that there's no way with all the moving parts that we've got going on in this district that we're going to be able to move forward with a full project that's not going to run into all kind of roadblocks, which tells me we're not going to get there anytime soon. But it just seems to me that fairness and gravity would dictate that you go to the top of the drainage district and say, these people that are benefiting, these properties that are benefiting from these facilities and burdening the facilities, let's bring them into the district and let's create that west tile outlet that would reduce the burden on the existing facilities, where we can take a look and see what we've really got. That also means to me that we've got a little space to breathe to see what's actually going to start to happen in some of the newly annexed ground, with the City of Ames pretty strict requirements on what they do with things, and can incorporate the whole deal. And so I sit here right now and I think, okay, that top northwest section that's benefiting from the facility, yeah, up in there, about 2,000 acres, we need to get that annexed in, and we need to figure out, I mean, down to design plans, what we're doing or potentially doing with a west tile outlet. We need to work with Elwell. We need to work with all the landowners up there and figure that part out first and then start to sequence the rest. I mean, we know that this drainage district was put together in the early 1900s, right? We're kidding ourselves if we think we're not going to spend some money other places as we go, but it just seems to me we should do the first thing first, and this feels like the first thing. Talk to me about that.
Well, again, I think you have existing facilities that need to be taken care of. I think that's important. You have not only people in the upper and the west main area that need and are asking for drainage, but you may have people in the east main as well. I don't know who is here or what people have heard in that regard, but I think everybody has a right to drainage. So by improving that west main tile may not improve, it could help some, but I don't think it will fully improve the east main tile to the degree that people now need.
Right, but the original landowner complaint came from right there in that upper reach that could be benefited from this. We didn't. It's not like we got a complaint, and I'm not arguing that the facilities need to be updated, but we didn't get a complaint from down lower in the facilities.
Also, the original petitioner is in the upper portion. Their water will still be in the east main.
But they won't have the water, the subsurface water that's flowing to them now from that west side if we deal with that.
Right. They'll still have the surface waters, and they may not have a district facility brought to them.
But surface waters, let's talk a little about that. So surface waters, it kind of drains both ways, and it depends on the event, right? A really heavy event, we see a lot of flow into Grant, right?
Yes.
Second thing I would ask you, and I think we've talked about this before, and I'm sorry if we're talking about something this for a second time, but we've got aerial photos from the 30s that very clearly show the water draining more to the surface water draining more to the west, and something happened over time. I can't say whether it's intentional or not intentional, but it clearly started to flow to the east. Remind me what we know about that. What does the law tell us about that, as you know? Okay.
But there's a thing called the natural course of water.
Right.
That generally cannot be changed. Water changes course, and surface flows change course throughout time.
Okay.
And that is something apparently that has happened here as well. It's not fully cut a whole new path either one way or the other, as we've seen. And a model that flows both ways. The smaller flows probably go all the way to the west. The larger flows go both ways. And
Rick, it was I-35.
It was I-35 that changed the water?
I-35
changed the water. Great,
thank you. It crossed at 13th Street. There was 05 back there, that was the natural flow of water.
Yep.
We can't correct others' ills in the past. We are here to deal with what we have today.
And that's exactly what I'm suggesting, Ken, is this is what we've got. We know we've got a drainage district that was built primarily in early 1900s, right, 1902 to 1907. We know that we're dealing with facilities that have exceeded their life expectancy. We know that we've got the potential for some pretty major development coming right through the middle of our drainage district. We know that we've got ground that, because of I-35 and other things, that now is utilizing these facilities but has never paid in. And it just seems to me, again, I go back to, okay, we've got multiple steps. This is a huge number and a huge potential project for everybody. And I think we need to recognize that ultimately, over time, yeah, we're going to have to deal with all of this. But it seems the reasonable course of action for us to get started, because it's time to get started. A reasonable course of action to get started is to say, okay, we need to annex everybody in that is going to benefit from it, and then we need to go ahead and do the hard design for that west main tile and then see where we are on the rest of it, and we're going to end up having meetings like this in the years to come. Sure.
Do you annex first, or do you decide what improvement you're going to do first to know who you need to annex? You know, if we annex without any agreed upon improvement on the West Main, we could only, in my opinion, can only annex that upper watershed, that West Main watershed wouldn't benefit from any of the existing facilities. If you would annex them, and then the West Main is not constructed, then you have somebody into the district, well, they still wouldn't pay for anything because they don't benefit.
Right.
Anything, I guess, but
well, that's what I'm looking at. Even if we annex those people on the west side, if exactly. They're only going to pay for the part of the facilities that they use.
Correct.
Why, if we have a repair, we've got the main open ditch repair, we're required, correct, to do the repair? Are we not?
If we accept that the main open ditch is in need of repair to the point that it's
original
causing
flow.
These things, yeah, then we do it. But my issue there, Loris, is... there is no question that there's work that's going to need to be done in the lower reaches of the West Main, but I'm viewing that, this is a bad analogy, but it's the best I've got, I'm viewing that as a broken fingernail when you've got a broken arm up above, And what I'm suggesting is I want to deal with the broken arm, which is 2,000 acres that part of which is benefiting from the existing districts, but we can take care of that whole thing with the west tile outlet. And that will remove a certain amount of water, a certain amount of the subsurface water that's flowing through the existing district.
Okay. We need to move to find out from the landowners then their feelings towards the West Main outlet. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I would agree, and I think part of that is the remonstrance process.
Sure.
People need to object that they are against any part of the proposed improvements they need to object.
But for us to get there, we would have to move ahead, and that would trigger the power of remonstrance. Is that right?
Again, we're with some legal guidance on this. My opinion is that if you decide what improvement is made, give these people that are within that watershed the opportunity to speak against it. And if that is not done, then you can move forward with that annexation and then the project.
Okay.
How can someone speak against it if they aren't annexed?
I think anybody can speak for anything.
Let me back up and re-ask. How can they have the power of remonstrance, mm-hmm. that actual official legal power, if they're not already annexed it?
Again, that's a legal question. I don't know that I'm prepared to answer.
Okay.
Is there anything?
Deputy Commander Anderson with the County Attorney's Office. Looking at 468.119, the annexation of additional lands, says that after the establishment of a levy or drainage district, if the board becomes convinced additional lands contiguous to the district, without regard to county boundaries, are benefited by the improvement, or that the same are then receiving benefit or will be benefited by repair or improvement to said district,
mm-hmm.
it may be annexed. I go on
that's where we're at.
Section 4 to say mm-hmm. that the right of remonstrance as provided under Section 468.28 does not apply to the owners of lands being involuntarily annexed to an established district.
Ah.
Say that again.
Section 4 of 468 says the right of remonstrance as provided under 468.28 does not apply to the owners of lands being involuntarily annexed to an established district.
Right.
There is no right of remonstrance for annexation. There is for...
Which is why, if at all possible, I would want to annex first and then have the proposed project, because then they have their rights intact rather than not. And the other thing that I'm going to say is, so, and I understand this, and I was actually one of them, you know, Kent, several years ago when we met each other, I was one of them that did not like the reclassification system. I have since come around. I actually really appreciate the reclassification system. I believe with all the work that we have to do in Grant 5, and now everybody hear me when I say this, there's a lot of work to do in Grant 5, and it's not all going to get done while we're all still here, but it's going to get started while we're all still here, right? And the question is when. It just makes sense to me that we would go ahead and annex and do the full reclassification with all the different branches, proposed and real branches, so that everybody knows, instead of giving people an estimate of this is what this project would cost you, we can give them a more hard and fast, this is what your portion of a $200,000 project would be if it applies to your district. And I know, Kent, it's a little different than the way you're comfortable organizing these things, but in this case, I feel like it's the most fair thing, because it's going to give everybody their rights, and it's going to get us, as we look at multiple projects down the road, it's going to get us where it's not, we're going to tell you how much it cost you after we're done, which is the way we've done a couple of projects, right? We said, okay, we're going to go in, do the project, reclassify, and oh, by the way, we'll let you know at the end of it how much you owe. This would shift that and get it more to the front.
But, yeah, this project this whole project is unique, you know,
right,
of ways. But understand that if you do a annexation and reclassification, that things may change. And they can change just in the construction process itself. So your reclassification, if a line changes or if you add a line somewheres or move a line, your whole reclassification may change. So you may end up doing that. But we've done that preliminary reclassification before, and I think that's worked out real well.
Okay. So we're looking at, okay, as I hear this, move to the...
Should we, first, I think it's important we have received some objections.
Yeah, we need to hear from landowners on this. I think they clearly know where we're at and as regards to what we would propose to do. They've been giving a rough estimate to it. They have seen on their maps what the improvement would look like, and I guess it's time to hear from the people that will be asked to pay for it.
Scott, do you want to read those, or do you want me or Rick or somebody else?
Scott, you want to go?
Okay.
Normally I would do it, but I'm a little under the weather.
Yeah. We did receive some written objections and just written comments and questions as well, several. The first from Hubbard Harvest, LLC. These were submitted via email, and some of these Kent Rohde has had a chance to respond to via email, so when I read this, I'll let him give his responses. Teach section. So, yeah, Hubbard Harvest, Joyce Kofer is the landowner name. She has several points. The first is that the cost of their portion of the project is hard to determine for us until after completion, which is what Rick was just addressing. The chart in the engineer's report gave an average cost per section, but we were told our cost would be higher because the proposed new drainage ditch runs across our land. Would you agree to buy anything you don't know the cost beforehand? We've been told our share is estimated somewhere between $30,000 and $87,000. For our land, this cost is high and the benefit is low. And I'll just say that that estimate is based on if the project were done today under the original classification. I told Joyce those numbers, and I told her that the only thing she could be sure of is that those numbers were not correct. But Kent had a response to that as well.
It's generally the same as what I had. I guess typically landowners pay for drainage facilities that they benefit from. The amount paid is based on the amount of benefit that they receive. Understanding that the total project cost and how that cost has been assessed is typically determined at the end of the construction process by a reclassification. Unless, as we just mentioned, that there is a preliminary reclassification done at the start.
And there is a code section that applies to preliminary reclassifications. It is allowed under the law. I don't know the exact section, but I came across it today. Joyce went on to say, we will lose production on the 100-foot easement and a large drainage ditch we dug diagonally across our land, and a section of our farmland will be cut off from access. Her land is where the proposed extension of the ditch is between Lincoln Way and the railroad. The ditch will not effectively improve our drainage, and we will lose farmable land and access caused by the ditch and the berm alongside the ditch. And then she has several points below that. A, ask the engineer how we will gain access to the northeast corner of our land in section 4.
And the right of their right-of-way appraisers are appointed by the board, and the right-of-way appraisers will consider compensation for the severance of property. The property is cut off. If you have triangle roads or the like, that is considered in that process. That it may include also outright purchase of that severed area, or payment for installation of a private crossing culvert across the ditch itself. Minor adjustments can still be made to the alignment of the open ditch to minimize any necessary segments of property.
B, we were told that we could grow crops on the easement, but if they needed access to the ditch, we would not be reimbursed for any crop damage and damage to soil. Is this true? That would be after the project is completed.
Landowners have the beneficial use of the spoil bank within the easement area so long as that does not interfere with the maintenance needs of the drainage district. Crop
damages will be considered by the appraisers at the time of the letter of purchase. Damages caused by construction activities outside of the easement area must be paid by the drainage district. However, Iowa code does not require crop damages to be paid within the right-of-way easement area. The boards that I have been working, however, typically pay for crop damages caused by maintenance activities, even in right-of-way areas, primarily for areas that already have an established right-of-way.
Mm-hmm. Right. So part C of that question, we were told there would be no payment for easement or loss of crop due to construction. City of Ames is paying for easement or for utilities across the south portion of this farm in addition to crop and soil damage.
You will receive payment for the easement or right-of-way across your property. The payment is determined by appraisers and considered by the board at a right-of-way hearing on the report of the appraiser.
Right. And on that part, I spoke to Joyce on the phone before she submitted this. I think there was just a little miscommunication. It's what she understood my telling her about what would be reimbursed to her for construction. Item two, even though we will be able to farm to the edge of the ditch, the soil condition will have been reduced due to compaction and disturbance of the soil. This will reduce production.
Well, there's typically a combination of deep tillage that is performed after the work is completed, as well as natural freeze-thaw cycles over several years that help reduce that compaction. Yeah. If it's paid for over a three-year period.
Three, since we live in Oklahoma and Texas, we are not able to attend the meeting. If any vote is taken other than approving the existing plans or just doing the required basic return back to original levels, which refers to the open ditch, we will not be able to express our opinion. A vote on any amended project should be held until we can vote.
Typically, a vote is not taken. If any landowner objects to any portion of the proposed improvements, they must submit their objection in writing to the auditor's office at or before the close of the hearing. A right of remonstrance exists for all improvements. That means that if the majority of the landowners benefiting from the improvement object and also own at least 70% of the land area, the project improvement cannot move forward. If there is no remonstrance, the board determines if the improvement is necessary or desirable and conducive to the public health, convenience, welfare, benefit, or utility, that the cost thereof is not excessive. However, the board is required by the code to keep the existing facilities in good repair. There is no right of remonstrance on the repair portion of the project.
Okay. Item four, the addition of surrounding areas to the drainage district seems to be on hold until a plan passes. I want to know if they will be added even if the past proposal is only to return to the basic level of drainage ditch. Do these landowners have a say if they want to be added to Grant 5 district? How will this impact the cost of the project?
Again, this was my opinion at the time, but I think there's some differences here. I believe that the annex area will be determined after the improvements are improved. Those areas that benefit from the improvements but are not currently assessed will be annexed to the drainage district. Only the repair option is approved, there would still be the need for annexation. There is no right of remonstrance for annexation. However, if they can show that their land does not drain to the facility, they will certainly be reviewed by the engineer and considered during the reclassification process. For example, sometimes landowner surface water flows into the district, but their tile water flows out. The cost of annexation is relatively small when compared to the other project costs.
Item five, as a landowner with the ditch coming across our land, we have to pay a higher assessment and also lose a lot of land for production because of the ditch assessment, the ditch easement, and loss of access to a section of our land. The cost is too high and we will see virtually no benefits. It will take a long time to accrue the cost and will also cause loss of future income on this land.
State that the advantages to drainage are significant and well documented. Right.
And then Joyce added an additional cost would be to pay for wetland determinations.
The actual wetland determinations do not cost any money. They are done for free by the Natural Resource and Conservation Service. The NRCS will perform the wetland determination and provide a certified wetland determination for no fee.
However, depending on their workload, it may take several months or more before determinations are made. Landowners were responsible for determining their own, obtaining their own determinations. It is important that this occur early in the process.
Joyce also said we are paying for three revisions by the engineer. It's currently costing $110,000. The $110,000 was following the second amended report. That number is now $147,900 is the current cost of engineering fees. So it's come up.
And this drainage district is very large, and there's many options and alternatives, and revisions were investigated. And based on various landowner and stakeholder meetings over several years.
Item six, we are not sure a large drainage district will be looked on favorably by any industry moving into the area. This land has been annexed into the city of Ames recently with plans to develop it as an industrial corridor.
My response is any industry located in this area will need and want good drainage. The open ditch will actually contain the drain flows primarily within the open ditch banks instead of spreading out over a much larger area of the property.
Item seven, we are not pleased that the land will not be put back to original levels such as compaction. The land should be put back to original conditions instead of paying for reduced crops, since the payment for the reduced crop is for only 3 years. But the compaction probably will last much longer than that.
We discussed that before. The combination of deep tillage and natural feed-soil cycles will eliminate the effects of compaction. We've utilized this process for many projects.
I had fella come in and chisel plow my hard area over the gas line, and the chisel plow didn't break up any ground, it just cut slots. It was that tough. That was probably 10 years after the gas line was put in.
Okay. Item 8. The culvert under Lincoln Highway is limiting the flow of water to the south. Without fixing this bottleneck, increasing the drainage south of the highway will not help anything north of the highway. Water has flowed over the highway because the culvert is too small to handle the current flow, and improvements north of it will only make it worse. Because the water is not able to get through the existing culvert at the rate water is draining now, the improvements to the north will only make the flooding on our land worse.
We have had conversations with the City of Ames about replacing the existing box culvert with a much larger box culvert. They are required to replace the existing structure with a larger structure at the proper depth to accommodate the open ditch improvement.
Okay. Item 9, will the berm on the new drainage ditch prevent surface water on our land from draining like it does now with the surface drainage? If not, this will cause us additional problems with water damage to our crops.
Surface drainage along the open ditch will be directed into the ditch at specific locations so as not to erode the ditch banks and not damage crops.
And her final point, item 10, are the landowners voting on these options? And if so, how are votes weighted? By access owned for each, or each landowner get a vote, or is the district board making the decision, and are you only asking for feedback?
Again, votes are not taken. Written objections are counted. However, based on the number of individuals, by the number of acres that they own to determine if or not remonstrance has been met. Keep in mind that you need at least 50% of the landowners by count, majority of the landowners, and then those landowners that are objecting have to own at least 70% of the land.
So Joyce finishes her letter stating that they feel the cost of the project is excessive, the benefits are not in line with the cost. They do favor returning the existing ditch to its original capacity, if necessary. That's the $531,000 cost.
Kent, if we were just to let this one alone, as far as just don't open that ditch, don't look for a new culvert, don't do a clean out, what does that do? If we were really, I've got a lot of warmth on the annexation improvement on the West Main, but if we were just to leave the proposed open ditch as is, culvert as is, and the south open ditch as is there a negative? Is there a responsibility we're shirking as trustees?
Well, I understand that area between Lincoln Way now floods dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in and of itself is a problem. And I think an open ditch would actually, along with the improved culvert would improve that and provide better drainage for that industrial park area out in that area. The open ditch then would provide also better drainage for those areas north of the railroad and 220th. Again, I believe that that open ditch needs repairs.
Are you talking between Old 30 and New 30?
I'm talking from the outlet of the drainage district to Lincoln Way.
From the tracks to Lincoln Way?
No. From the outlet all the way south at Indian Creek Lincoln Way.
I believe also that the open ditch between Lincoln Way and 220th is a good option as well. Now is the time before areas are further developed and you have more obstacles than what you may have now.
I guess I would want to know if the open ditch would be an impediment to development.
I think those individuals that plan to develop in that area need drainage. I think the ditch is more important for them than it is an impediment. I think anybody that builds in that area as a developer would welcome the fact that we not only have sanitary sewer and water, but we also have good drainage.
And I still don't understand that.
Yeah, I would disagree. So I'm with the City of Ames. You're going to read my letter. Tracy Warner, Municipal Engineer. And what I would say is that we have extensive post-construction stormwater management requirements. As they develop, they're going to be decreasing the flows back to a meadow in good condition. They're going to be detaining. They're going to be improving water quality. So they're going to be removing the suspended solids, the nitrates, the hydrocarbons, the phosphorus. We're going to be improving things through this area. And so that would apply to both the Elwell properties, north and south of East 13th, as well as the north and south of East Lincoln Way as we are in that industrial area. So the area along East 13th is regional commercial. The area along East Lincoln Way is industrial.
Mm-hmm. And Tracy, tell us about your requirements in terms, so I understand what the City of Ames does with the on-site water. You guys are top-notch on handling the water that's on-site. But how do you handle the pass-through water? So the water that's coming from the north and has got to move through the property to the south, how is that built into your water ordinance?
Yeah, and that water is continued. We obviously can't block drainage. We continue water flow off-site, continues to pass through the site, but is taken into consideration with those stormwater treatment drains, the water quality features. We had the proposed the new mall there on the 13th Street. They were doing bioretention cells, detention, all of these water quality features that was even before our ordinance got adopted in 2014. We also have extensive soil management requirements, so they not only have to decompact, they have to make sure that they have that significant organic matter there that's going to once again absorb that water, making sure that it's infiltrating and not just running off and really hardly compacted with all of their construction equipment. So they could also get the vegetation to grow.
So would it be fair of me to say that if somebody came in to develop this property, one of these properties, that the City of Ames would require that at their cost, at whoever's developing this, their cost, they would meet your stormwater ordinance and they would continue to, whatever they design, they would continue to move the same amount of water that's currently flowing through there from north to south.
So following up on that, Tracy, then let's say that the first property to develop is south of Lincoln Way, all right? And then one of the lots north of Lincoln Way, right, because it's on both sides, all right, gets developed second. So your property or your industrial A, all right, they've already done everything according to what you needed for that particular development at the time, all right? But now somebody's come in north of them, and that changes the water pattern in itself. How does that factor into us being able to move water through?
Well,
Well, it, again, will continue the water flow. If anything, they would see a decrease in water flow because it would be detained volume-wise and rate-wise by that new development north.
To the north.
At industry B's cost, correct?
So the movement of the surface water, just for the layman, is the drainage district is held harmless with development. Primarily, my question would be to where the proposed open ditch cut would be between the train tracks and your Lincoln Way, East Lincoln Way.
My opposition to that drainage channel is that we are promoting this area for industrial development. We don't know the size that they will need. That bisects a significant property. And so if you build it and then there's a development, it's very likely going to have to get redone or something to promote that economic development.
So the district, if good scenario, let me ask this question hearing that. So we propose to do an open ditch and then the property gets sold and redeveloped. The assessment still follows, correct? It doesn't go away? As far as, okay, say we choose tonight to do an open ditch between the train tracks and the culvert on East Lincoln Way. And the property sells and the development starts in a way that the open ditch goes away to reflect the wishes of being built in the city of Ames. Would the assessment for that open ditch and the cost of its production still be something that would be borne by the people in the district?
I would say so, but I'm not legally, because you incurred the construction cost.
Mm-hmm.
So that
a ditch could go away through development, and we still had to pay for the ditch. It's no longer there.
Right.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Right.
So you distributed amongst all the benefited landowners, so people would be paying for something
that doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
See, that's where I'm just chilling to the idea that you do anything in the sense that I would think that would, to me, be just counterproductive at this point, that open ditch, as we have talked and talked and talked. But I'm just, this is a conversation that's in flux.
It's the trustee's decision, but I want to make it clear that the drainage district has an easement through that area. There's a tile that exists there now. Nothing can be built over top that tile. There's an easement that exists that has to be maintained back from that to maintain that and improve that tile in the future. Much the same as there's an open ditch easement. There's an easement for a tile as well.
Right, but let's just talk that through for a minute. So, again, this is just tonight is about laying all the cards on the table. So let's say that Tracy's right and somebody comes in and wants to do a fairly large development there. Then, as I understand it, the trustees have the ability to, yes, we've still got that easement, but the whole purpose of that easement is to move water from point A to point B. And so we have some flexibility to work with the new owners of the property to say, as long as water's moving from point A to point B, we'll work with you on the easement.
Correct. They could relocate that easement,
right,
if they would desire, but it would be at their cost.
Hey, I'm all in on the idea of industry paying at their cost when they want to develop something.
Or they could have the tile under a parking lot or a driveway that still enables water to flow, but if you have a ditch, it completely cuts it off.
Mm-hmm. See, that's where I lose lose the desire on the open ditch in the sense that it could, you know, once again, you bear the expense for something that's not there, and then you have a development firm that is looking to move in that it's going to take that away. And if you did nothing, you have no expense in opening a ditch at this time. And Ron Jensen would like to ask a question.
Take away the open ditch in there, then the next
thinning, so already they're going to raise the grade 3 or 4 feet because the water's 3 or 4 feet deep in there. And then they're going to say, well, we're not feeding flow. As soon as it backs up all the way to the north for 2 miles, north of the length of the railroad tracks, then we'll be fighting the next problem.
Yeah, but
you aren't going to get the city of Ames to move after they've already paved some or somebody to...
But that's where the drainage district still has the hammer in this deal.
No, they don't.
Sure they do.
The point being right now, the next point of this deal, the responsibility of the Grant 5 trustees is to protect Grant 5 open ditch and the people being assessed.
Right, but we're not talking about the open ditch. We're talking about the new open ditch.
Everything. Your responsibility as the trustees is to represent Grant 5 as it exists today. The first thing to do is you shut off the water to the north or get it going back where it was to start with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's your responsibility today.
Yes, we've moved the conversation away from the West Main over to this open ditch, and I have more desire to...
It's just like Rick said before. This is just like the tornado went through and took the roof off the house and called the carpet cleaners when he even got the roof back on. If you're going to get this whole problem solved, you've got to get the water coming out of here illegally into our district, damage in our district, that we're going to pay for again. We paid for in 91 that got done wrong, and it's not going to change until you get the water to the north stop like it was supposed to be.
Well, let's go back to the west annexation then.
Right, and I'm just going to say, I appreciate that point of view. The reality is, at least I can't find a way that we're going to stop all that water. But what we absolutely can do and what is absolutely reasonable to me is you can shift some of the subsurface drainage to the west, which will take care of some of the water. But the second thing and the thing that I think we have to do is we have to annex this property that is benefiting sending water in because they've got to pay their share of whatever project is coming.
100%.
But, see, I think I'm doing the same thing by suggesting that we would like to see industry, any industry that might come to Grant 5, to foot the bill for some of these improvements in Grant 5. It's the same reason that I go down the road of being interested in a culvert under the railroad tracks, because then it becomes the railroad's responsibility instead of the landowner's. City of Ames, ultimately, if there is need for a larger culvert or multiple culverts going under Lincoln Highway, that will happen at the City of Ames' expense, all of which I think benefits the landowners of Grant 5, the current landowners of Grant 5.
You can't get rid of the water out of the main tile. The drainage system ain't working.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. We got other objections we got to get through?
Yes, we do.
Let's get through it.
They get shorter than the first letter.
Outstanding and read fast.
the second mail we received is this morning from the Denny Elwell Company. It's from a representative of the company, Chris Murray. He represents Elwell Reuter. Based on the November 15, 2018 letter issued by Bolton and Menk, Elwell understands that land owned by Elwell is being considered to be included in one or more projects being proposed by Drainage District 5. Further, it is the understanding of Elwell that the property owned by Elwell is not currently in Drainage District 5 and has not been noticed up for annexation into Drainage District 5. I received a letter dated October 30, 2018 from Scott Wall at the Story County Auditor's Office stating an engineer's report was available at the Auditor's Office. I went to the office and was provided with the following: the combined third hearing letter, 12 pages, combined map, 6 pages, and Drainage District Number 5, Grant Drainage and Improvements, 57 pages. They got the amended project that we're considering here tonight, which is just an amendment to the second report. They did not receive that second report, as far as I know. So they got an incomplete set. I wasn't the one who was there and gave them that information. Based upon the statements made in those documents, it appears the property owned by OL will be impacted by the project identified as proposed West Main Tile. OL strongly objects to the proposal for the following reasons.
Ethan, I'm going to have you ask you to come up, and we'll do our little George and Gracie bit here where you and Scott are bouncing off each other.
So OL's points, number one, notice of the December 11, 2018 meeting was not made in compliance with the requirements of the Iowa Code or due process. Before you start, I'll just state that we follow Iowa Code Section 468.14, which states that the notice must be made at least 40 days prior to any hearing. The notice for this hearing was mailed 43 days prior to tonight.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, you're a little hand up personally, and in my opinion, you can apply the law.
Yeah, we're a little unclear about the LL does not state how they do not think this is in compliance.
It is in compliance.
Yeah, that's our belief.
Exactly. Number two.
The fact that they wrote the letter says it's in compliance.
Right.
Number two, an engineering report is required by Iowa Code. Has not been provided in a form or substance that is in compliance with the Iowa Code. Again, we're not sure what their objection to the form of the engineer's report is.
Yeah, 468.12 sets forth what's required in the report. It's to identify where everything, outlets and where everything, the facilities, the boundaries of the district, all that, the costs associated with any improvements. And maybe they're confused because they didn't get that first report.
Right, the second amended report.
And maybe that's where their confusion lies, but I believe that we satisfy the requirements of Iowa Code 468.12.
Three, the Drainage District trustees are acting outside the scope of their authority by seeking questions, comments, concerns, and proposing to take action from any landowners that are not currently contained within Drainage District 5. The authority of the Drainage District trustees to undertake and assess for repairs and or improvements is limited to the owners of real property located within the Drainage District. I think we've addressed that in this meeting already about whether the proposed annexed areas have a right to comment prior to being annexed.
And they may not have a right to comment before they're annexed, but I just think it's good practice if you're talking about doing this to offer them the opportunity to comment. We already have heard they don't have the right for remonstrance. If we decide they're benefiting and we decide to annex them, we can annex them.
And the code says we have to notify the landowners in the district. It does not say that we are not allowed to notify others.
Right.
Item four, the Drainage District trustees are acting improperly by not attempting to annex parcels into the Drainage District prior to proposing changes or improvement to the watershed, which might affect the currently unannexed properties. I think we've just addressed that.
Well, and we can propose changes anytime we want. It's when we actually start to act on them that you need to be careful. Okay?
Item 5, the Bolton and Menk letter, dated November 15, fails to establish a reasonable basis for the proposed changes. Again, my feeling is that is because they received the amendment to the
right.
Amended number 2 report. They did not have their complete report, which I think does establish a basis. Number 6, the proposal for the proposed West Main Tile will have the effect of diverting water from the Drainage District to properties not within the Drainage District in violation of the Iowa Code and common law. Again, they're talking about the area that's proposed for annexation, the West Main annexation. We would not do the project without annexing those areas.
Right.
7, while prior meetings have discussed the need to approach developers in the city of Ames to determine the use of properties in the unannexed areas and the impact such uses would have on the necessity for the proposed West Main tile, no such contact has been made with Elwell. I was not aware of any contact with Elwell, but I think Kent can speak to that.
I had telephone conversations and emails with Chris Murray, President and CEO of Denny Oil, on April 6, 2018, more recently on December 6, 2018, actual changes in alignment with the zone to accommodate potential development of their property.
Item 8, the artificial alteration of the flow of surface water, which would be caused by the proposed West Main tile, is unnecessary and inappropriate.
I was not seeing the shift in surface water. I mean,
water, as we've discussed before, water from the upper watershed area flows both ways. We are not diverting water.
Surface water.
We're not diverting surface water, and we're not diverting private
the subsurface water either, because the private tile already flows to that west main tile.
Mm-hmm. Their land is really a swamp because of the backup and the backup of the laterals from the.
Those tiles are undersized, and the landowners need drainage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's backing up and making the Elwell property into a swamp.
And on that note, item 9 is the West Main Tile proposal will not provide any material benefit to the overall properties and should not be approved.
Yeah. Good save. Good save.
Well, you know, right there was 8 and somewhat into 9. That was what I was talking about before. Mm-hmm. You were kind enough to give somebody that got stake in this and got it paid and move the tile over at a bigger cost to the rest of the taxpayers. And now he's complaining about drainage. And that's just—that's in the city limits, and that's what's going to be your next problem if you don't dig the open ditch now, because they can't be trusted. And all of a sudden, we're going to start giving to somebody that's going to change the rules 5-10 years from now.
Yeah, but we're nothing in that letter changes the rules, right? So that we disagree with
the tile line. You can do it right today. The tile line don't go over next road. It goes straight down and follows 18 inch all the way.
Well, but so that's a preliminary design, and if the trustees direct that you're going to come back to us with the most logical design on this west main tile, it's going to look like you're going to go figure out what the best result is, and then we're going to go from there.
The best result's going to right at the outlet.
So
the bottom part of the outlet, so you don't throw the grain away, so the tile has most cover and most fall. Every tenth of a put in grain in a tile doubles the flow. You throw away 5 feet in that distance, you cut the flow of tile, of water in that tile.
How many feet east does that first 90 push it? I mean, because you know we start following down 570th to in accommodation to Elwell's wishes, correct?
Just north of 13th Street.
Right. I mean, when you sit there and look, you 450-500.
That's, yeah, I would agree with that.
So, I know I've asked you this personally, but you create some friction by doing that 90-90, correct?
We would minimize that. There is some friction losses there. We would minimize that by putting more gentle. It's shown as a 90 there, but we put in like 330-degree bends.
Well, when you look, and to Ron's point, when you look at the bottom of that outlet there, clearly, we are off to the east of where it had been historically dumping, and you used the arch on the railroad to show you that's where it had gone historically. And we're proposing through that 90-90 to put it to the east.
You can't go all the way to the east as far as it showed on these maps because right. There's gas lines at the east edge of their property.
Yeah, we have those gas lines shown. We were given maps of where their gas lines are, what we have shown as a proxy.
Whose gas lines are they? Are they Alliance?
Yes.
Thank you.
The last one feeds the Aiden power plant.
But if we were to do this, we would want it to outlet wherever it makes the most sense for it to outlet, right? So,
and that would be just a, okay. The conversation as I started it was talking about the fact that we 90-90 it down to follow 570th, and then here comes the gas line conversation. Okay, then and we want to, and historically where we proposed outlet is not where it had been for years going out. Where is the proposed outlet? As listening to all that.
What I see in the map is a line.
So you're okay with the 90-90 following? Is that what you're telling me? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't have to pay for it.
Well, I kind of gathered that early on in the meeting. So you're feeling So what are you, what are you saying there as far as having?
We don't have a design, but we would need to closely coordinate with the design.
And we don't have it designed either. I mean, we, right? Well, am I calling this a design or is this a preliminary proposal?
Preliminary design.
Yeah. So we would have room to work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Steve.
Why are you worried about movement to the east? If you annex the west part, that means you're going to take right away over the 18 inches already there. Is that correct?
I'm not worried about moving it to the east. I mean, we moved it to the east.
Why are you moving it to the east?
To accommodate a proposed development in the LOL Ruger property.
Aren't you going to maintain right away over the 18 that's already through them?
Well, I think we can, or I'm hearing that that is failing as well. So it's what the landowners want. We can maintain that, we can reroute that, or we can totally eliminate that.
Or we can run it right up through the middle where it is now and not worry about it.
You have to go to the laterals.
I understand Ames is going to develop, but the tile, things need to be done. Tiles are 100 years old. All the county tiles are 100 years old.
But it doesn't make sense to replace a tile that a year from now, if that area is developed, needs to be moved.
We don't know if it needs to be moved. Somebody tells us their plan. We're changing our plans for plans they don't even have. That's the way it always goes. We're supposed to, just for their maybe they ought to change their plans for ours.
I would think the person that's actually going to end up with the property has developments. Yeah. I talked to the guy that owns it now, but the guy that's actually going to end up with it, I would sure think would appreciate having good drainage.
I don't think retention ponds
alone aren't going to provide drainage for 4,000 acres to the north.
Retention ponds need outlets.
That's exactly right. They need big ones.
If the tile from the north coming through my property, which is just north from there, was diverted from the 18-inch tile. The 18-inch tile would be a good drain for that, for their property.
I'd like to. I see a couple of people, Tracy Warner being one, and also Brenda Dreyer from the AABC is here. So, are either of you aware of some type of discussion going on about a particular development there?
No, she's talking about the LOL property.
What used to be the mall, the proposed new mall, Bucky's Mall?
Yeah.
I know that there's been several discussions.
Okay.
Specific.
All right. Thank you.
Just to move this thing forward and make a complication, that drainage district, why do I care about development? I'm a farm. We're talking about developing for names and stuff.
Do you want to pay for something, be assessed for something that then gets ripped out? I mean, you know.
And that's where it's going to change our shouldn't be my fault that time. I mean, if I put in a tile and you, if you say you want to put a parking lot over it, you can move my tile. As long as you put that same ability to move water through there at that time, I don't care if you need to fix it.
As long as they
want. Mm-hmm. I want to be done.
100%, but I would rather you do it zero if we think that development is imminent. And so that's. I'm with you. I understand what you're saying about moving it on, but here's the deal. Imminent is too strong a word, but imminent is too strong a word. But if we feel like so, I mean, the soonest if we put the hammer down tonight and said let's go, we're doing this whole dang project. We're still into 2020 before we really get this thing done.
I could see work starting in May.
But I'm saying it's 2020 before this gets done.
Completely.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be billing until the end, late in 2020.
Exactly.
Or they'd see a benefit until.
And so I would flip that question, and Brenda, I know you've got to be really, really careful, but would it be your expectation that we're going to see movement on this stuff in that kind of time frame? Yeah. Prairie View, I'm talking about now, but you could do it with Elwell if you wanted to.
No, I mean, that's our goal.
And sure, and so I'll come back. You're 100% right. You should never have to pay for anything more than once, but wouldn't it be better to pay zero?
In a matter of time,
absolutely, but that's why I'm suggesting that we sync with this thing. So we got a couple options, right? We could say, yeah, we're doing the whole project. We need to clean this thing out from the outlet all the way south, all the way up. Put in a new drainage ditch, build all new tiles. Yes, it's going to be $5 million. Let's go, and we're going to have to stage it over time, and things are going to change as we go. And what I'm suggesting is we take it more one piece at a time, and we put this northwest section that we know is benefiting. We go ahead and pull them in. We go ahead and look at doing the build out there, understanding, and I've said this a couple times now, that that's not the end of the deal for this, but we start to sequence it one step at a time. We're going to see what kind of development we get. Maybe we benefit from the timing of it and don't have to pay. The drainage district doesn't have to pay for some of the steps in here, which I think is a huge advantage to the drainage district if you're talking about taking pieces of it off.
Do you know what that value of cutting around L wells is to the drainage district and the section of ditch? Do we know what that cost is that we would save by sitting for a while?
Well, now, so L wells are different conversation, because I'm not talking about sitting on that one. That's part of the first project that I'm suggesting. I'm saying that we want to annex in, and we want to do that entire West Main. And what we would need to see is we would need to see our drainage engineer work with the city of Ames and work with the property owners in the area to figure out where the right place is for this larger step-down tile that's going through there, and get that done first. And then come back, and first of all, we're going to see what kind of true impact that has on flows through the rest of Grant 5. Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about sequencing what else is happening in Grant 5 and where are you doing that. Are you digging a new open ditch and getting the benefit of putting a culvert in under the railroad tracks, or are you just replacing tile? And how are you doing that with the Lincoln Way culvert and whatever might need to go in across this Prairie View development? And then what are you doing and when are you doing it on the open ditch that goes all the way? How far does this open ditch run? It's 2.5 miles?
Which one?
The main open ditch.
Existing.
No, the main one that exists right now from Lincoln Highway all the way down. What is that all the way down to?
Yeah. Almost 5 miles.
And Steve can speak to this in the back, because Steve has had great experience in cleaning out these open ditches with us. I don't want to hear your story.
Man, I can hire you either.
It's a big, big deal. And so I'm suggesting that we ought to sequence this thing. I'm sorry?
The only point I'll make is not near as big a deal as it sounds like.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So, all right, what other objections do we have?
We received a letter this morning in person from Charles Lloyd. He doesn't really have objections. He can't be at the meeting tonight. He's voicing his concerns. His objections, what he calls his objections, are more in the form of questions. One, the City of Ames is not taking responsibility by pushing any costs on the landowners. Two, they allowed construction of apartment buildings off of South Duff, east of the airport, in a known floodplain. Three, how is any assessment going to be apportioned? Four, the cost has ballooned. Five, was this the real intent of the law passed many years ago? Six, repair is one thing, but this other is a huge overreach. Seven, how can you expect a few landowners to pay for any annexation by a municipality? I'm not sure that Charles really understood how drainage works. I talked to him and the woman that came in with him this morning. And they left, I think, feeling like a lot of their questions had been answered. A lot of these objections, such as South Duff and the airport development, aren't pertinent to what we're discussing tonight.
Right.
But that's what he submitted.
Okay, and we would answer those questions as we go.
Yeah.
As far as this West Main and potential annexation to go with, I have comfort in as I see it up until the 90 degree, and then I just want to be told that the district is not impinged on flow. And I just want to be sure. So on the outlet to the open ditch behind Berla.
Yeah, but that would be part of a final design that would come back to us with instructions that we want the best possible drainage tile that we can have.
I'm just saying, I just want to hear that you have no qualms about, as this is proposed, to go with the landowner's wishes as far as outletting it.
The west main?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Outlet that wherever it is. The
wherever it makes sense.
The mm-hmm.
Okay.
The 90s just puts the tile at the edge of their property so that it's less of an impediment to their development.
And I understand that. I'm just saying that, you know, I sat here as a trustee trying to I'm trying to justify the dollars that we would ask for an improvement, and are we doing the improvement to the maximum? And if you're telling me you're through a 90, you're creating friction, and then you got two 90s, are you actually doing it to 100%? I mean, are you getting your dollars worth? I mean, you're going to say, okay, I'm getting 98% service because I'm proposing to build it that way. And there lies the nub of my question.
Mm-hmm.
And what with the
historical tile location, just think about development.
Right.
We live in brighter times. And the fact that where you outlet it is not where it historically outletted anyway.
Super.
Okay, I don't mean to dwell on this. I'm sorry.
No. We need to get to a comfort level on this. Scott, do we have another objection, or are we just sitting Ames?
Yeah, two more. One is from the city of Ames.
Tracy, you want to do this one for us?
Yeah.
You want to just read your letter in?
Oh, I can read it. I've got the microphone.
Okay, good.
Okay.
So this is received. This is a letter from Ames written by Tracy Wonder. She alluded to this letter earlier in the meeting. Dear trustees, the City of Ames appreciates the opportunity to be a part of the process and to review the potential improvements to Drainage District Grant Number 5. City staff has met with Bolton and Mink staff, consultant hired by trustees, to exchange and coordinate information. As the trustees are aware, the City of Ames has annexed 1,349.63 acres of land on north and south sides of East Lincoln Way, east of Interstate 35, for future industrial development. The City of Ames is substantially 95% complete with the design of water and sanitary sewer mains to serve this area with public utilities. Land acquisition is in the process to obtain temporary and permanent easements and a parcel of land for a lift station and future elevated storage tank. Once land is acquired, the project will go out for bid letting for a 2019 construction. The design of the proposed Drainage District Grant Number 5 channel improvements puts burden on the city to further deepen the sanitary sewer based on the proposed improvement elevations. In working through the design of the sanitary sewer and water mains, City of Ames staff and design consultant have been working diligently to coordinate our utility design with private utilities such as CenturyLink Communications, Alliant Energy, Gas and Electric, and Coal Telephone Company Communications Fiber. Additionally, the City of Nevada has raw well lines in this area. During a meeting with Bolton and Mink staff, it was stated they have not reached out to any of these companies to coordinate their proposed improvements with the existing utility locations. This could cause significant costs to be incurred by the utility companies to relocate their facilities. The City of Ames has extensive and progressive stormwater management requirements as areas are developed. These areas will be required to treat the water quality volume and reduce flood volumes and flow rates back to a meadow in good condition baseline, which has significantly less water flow than even the agricultural runoff. If drainage district improvements are made now as this area is developed, these runoff flows will decrease. This would apply to all areas of land within the City of Ames corporate limits, including the regional commercial East 13th Street and industrial East Lincoln Way. Just east of Interstate 35, along East 13th Street, is land-zoned regional commercial that is also within the City of Ames. This area was conceptually designed under former ownership, which included numerous stormwater best management practices, including regional basins. These facilities were designed to treat water quality and detain water quantity, flood control. Even though different ownership, proposed development will be required to meet the city's stormwater management ordinance that includes water quality treatment and water quantity controls. As part of the proposed improvements, there is combining of subsurface water and surface water into a proposed channel south of East 13th Street. The design causes an elevation differential between the proposed channel and the existing culvert under East Lincoln Way. Additionally, this proposed channel will more rapidly carry higher volumes of water and more nutrients toward the existing culvert. The City of Ames does not agree with the statement made by Bolton and Mink that the entire cost of a new culvert replacement be the responsibility of the city. In addition to the elevation difference, there is increased capacity of the proposed improvement channel. Therefore, the cost of the new culvert should be distributed throughout the benefited drainage district. The proposed channel south of the existing railroad, north of East Lincoln Way, bisects a potentially large development opportunity. As the East Industrial Area is being promoted for development, this area will very likely include regional stormwater management as retention-detention basins. There is a high likelihood that the proposed improvements as part of district Drainage District Grant Number 5 would need to be modified or completely relocated. The regional commercial area north and south of East 13th Street will also be developed with regional retention detention basins. So at the least, coordination of improvements in this area is encouraged or strongly discouraged to take place at this time. Story County is a founding and active member of each of the Squaw Creek Watershed Management Authority and headwaters of the South Skunk River Watershed Management Authority. The Board of Supervisors have been active in reducing nutrients through projects implemented within Story County. They've also been proactive through completing countywide watershed assessments. As part of that assessment, watershed actions have been identified to improve water quality. The proposed improvements as part of Drainage District Grant Number 5 do not appear to maximize improvement to water quality within Story County and is addressed in the Iowa Nutrient Reduction Strategy. The proposed project enlarges drainage capacity instead of reducing flows and improving water quality in the area. The Nature Conservancy in Iowa has been looking at Drainage District Grant Number 5 as a possible model project to demonstrate state-of-the-art green stormwater and ag drainage systems. This would appear to be an avenue where Story County and City of Ames could work in collaboration to improve drainage and water quality, reduce nutrients reaching the rivers and streams in this area, while also coordinating regional stormwater management in those areas to be developed. Overall, the City of Ames opposes the proposed improvements as submitted by Boltman Mink and being considered at the December 11, 2018 hearing. There are no questions associated with that, just their feelings
their position.
Opposition to the project. And finally, we have one more. This was received today also from the Union Pacific. Dear Mr. Wall, thank you for the opportunity to comment on the above project. Union Pacific, UP, does not object to the overall project proposed by the district. With respect to the portion of the project on UP's right-of-way, please note that the project specifications are not yet developed in sufficient detail for UP to determine whether the district's intended design for the culvert or culverts crossing under UP's railroad tracks will meet UP's design, safety, construction, and operating requirements. Please provide more details so UP can determine whether the plans and specifications of the project are acceptable. UP will object to any design that does not meet UP's requirements, but UP would expect to arrive at a design that meets with the approval of both the district and UP. Mm-hmm. Additionally, please note that once the parties have approved a design for the culvert to be installed under UP's tracks, UP would like to discuss with the district whether it is more appropriate and beneficial to both parties for UP to complete the project or for the district to complete the project. Also, please note UP's readiness to install or fund the installation of an appropriate facility or facilities carrying appropriate volume of surface waters across UP's track structure. To the extent the district would like the capacity of the culverts under UP's track structure to exceed what is reasonably necessary, or to the extent the district has plans to make other modifications or installations on UP's property, such as a deep ditch carrying water to UP's track structure, UP would have a duty to fund the completion of that work, and the district should plan accordingly. UP certainly welcomes the opportunity to discuss the project further once the district has a more detailed understanding of its proposed plan. Please file these comments with the district before tonight's hearing. Please also let me know further if you have any questions about this letter or would like to discuss. That's signed by Patrick McGill, who's legal counsel with the UP.
Good. Thank you. Other questions? Yeah.
They would understand if you can get that water to go back to the west through that tile line, it will alleviate 75% of their tile, their problem on Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And that's why I agree with you, Rick. The best thing you can do is got to get that west tile line put in first and take it slow. The UP, I know what they just common sense does, what they just said, they're probably willing to put a tile under there now instead of spend across the big bridge. That's not the law. They don't have to, but I'll bet you if they found out, it cost them a lot less before that line under there, even though they're not obligated that it would be to put a culvert. So I think you work with everybody, but mm-hmm. It's just, you know, we're always, there's somebody else trying to dictate what's our project. You know, this again, I'll give a speech. You're trustees for Grant 5, and your obligation is to the landowners of Grant 5 first.
Don't disagree. I think it's important that we sequence this. And for me, what I'm suggesting is I see the sequencing as starting at the top of the drainage district and trying to deal with that first. And in my mind, and I know, Kent, that this is a little different than I think generally you prefer to work, but I think step one is to annex those properties rather than trying to play this game of we think we're going to annex you, we think there's going to be this benefit, let's go ahead and annex. Concurrently, while we're annexing, let's go ahead and do the hard designs, work with everybody involved, but do the hard designs. Once we get them annexed, then we have the full hearing of, is this the way we're going? Everybody has full rights of remonstrance then, and we move ahead. Then we're going to have to come back in the future, and we're going to have to deal with the rest of this drainage district. This is is this our biggest drainage district, Scott, land size, land-wise?
Probably. There's,
I think it's our largest one in terms
it's,
of...
It's immense.
Yeah. Yeah.
DOT's pond that has a quick flowing since 1991 over the top of the farms.
I was just sitting here thinking Sally'd be proud of you.
Yeah.
You know, there's Grand 5 again with another city annexing with pavement and changing the lay of the land, putting water in there quicker, and we haven't even addressed that. And that's why that water, as much as you can get, needs to go back where it originally come from, not shut it off.
Well, that's, I think, where we're at.
Steve.
Why would you not annex all of the ground if we're paying 5% of benefit? Mm-hmm. You know, why wouldn't you go ahead and annex all of it so we know we're in? So, you know,
that's what I'm suggesting.
You annex part of it, and then you blow it off and nothing gets done.
No, I'm suggesting that we annex all of it.
Yeah, top north.
All of it, and we do the reclassification at that point based on this West Main project coming together, right? Because what Kent pointed out earlier, and Kent, if I misstate it, you correct me, the problem with annexing all of it is if you annex it all and you don't do some version of this proposed West Main tile, there's parts of it that receive no benefit at all, which would actually be fine because you can be annexed into a drainage district and get no benefit and not ever have to pay into it. But I would prefer to have the whole thing done. You want to comment on that?
You're saying as well to annex everything.
All of it.
As we see it drawn out.
That even though there is not an improvement project in that West Main area,
it's not another problem. That quote section right earlier, 468-119, contemplates that.
The state's plan.
I heard the word proposed or improvements or something like that that gave me comfort that we could do this. Well, there you go.
Or will be benefited by repair or improvement.
Right. Which is how I'm suggesting we go ahead and annex the whole thing, because they will be benefited by this proposed
West Main.
So what I'm hearing,
yes,
just as a simplification, it would be to annex that ground.
Yep.
To have what we would call a preliminary reclassification.
Yes.
Based on the an alignment that is currently there or is worked with the developers, but to provide the best drainage for that area while accommodating everyone's needs.
Right.
So you would know what that would cost, and then reconvene, give those lands their right of remonstrance, mm-hmm, on the project.
Right.
Deal with this, and then...
Right, but in dealing with this, we're reducing the amount of flow that's going into existing Grant 5.
But so then, at that reconvene, move forward or not based on then the preliminary rebound.
Correct.
We almost need final plans to avoid any modifications of that reclassification.
Well, but talk to me about preliminary reclassification. What is that?
Well, a preliminary reclassification is one that is done without commissioners. It's done totally within our office and Tyler's computer.
Right, but what it would allow us to do is say, you're annexed and this is your expected cost. It's got to go through the commissioners to get to a final cost, but this is your expected cost based on this design.
Based on this design, whatever that is. But what I'm saying is, yeah, we put the 90 degrees in there. Do we have it going straight? That changes the reclassification if you move that alignment or if some part of it doesn't get built.
Right, but what I heard from Tracy and what I like in this is that the city of Ames is talking about going in and paving 570th. There is joint work to do to design the best system that we possibly can, taking the subsurface drainage from this 2,000 acres and flowing it to that west outlet.
Yeah.
What would be time turnaround on this from the annexation, and how long do you think that would take, and then how long to get the west main tile designed and actually done?
The annexation is probably a pretty quick turnaround in that, really, because we have a lot of that boundary, watershed boundary already determined.
So over the winter? Is that, I mean, five months?
I would say this winter or early spring, we would have an annexation. For sure. The design and coordination with others and developments and that can take a longer time to get the alignment which is needed for the reclassification process. So that would likely be the end of something.
Right, and then we would try, I would suggest, you would try to get to the point, Loris, where you could go to bid in early fall with the idea that you would start work as soon as the crops come out and try to put this thing in winter of 1920.
I'd have to think through this schedule.
1920.
I would think that probably would be doable.
Mm-hmm. Steve.
Does the federal government, do they pay?
The DOT pays for interstate highways.
He's asking about the USDA.
Oh, USDA.
Yeah.
We send them the bill.
But they'll be annexed in, though, correct?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Start this.
You have to annex Mullen because somebody's line you're going to cross is going to get hooked in ours, even if they didn't pay. That's why you got to put Mullen.
Mm-hmm. Anybody within that watershed benefits and will pay according to the benefit that they receive. Yeah.
So we're proposing an annexation.
The property, they'll pay the bill.
Mm-hmm. Still annexation and design. Preliminary reclassification.
Yeah. Yeah. Simple question. We are in Indiana, and our farm is in the northern annex, our possible annex part.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we probably will benefit somewhat, but right now it doesn't. I'm sure I don't need it. This sounds very expensive to me. And what's going to happen to property owners like me? What if I try and want to sell the farm? I'm getting older, my children, they want to sell the farm. And will they have this burden hanging over their heads? A large burden, financial burden hanging over their heads should we decide to do that. Right now, our biggest problem, according to the gentleman that farms the farm for me, is the interstate is causing any, and we have paid over the years, my in-laws did, and I have paid some to put tile on our land.
Right.
But this is my concern, is if I want to sell the farm, what's this going to do to me when you have all these plans, these expensive plans?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I don't know that I can give you an absolute, so the best answer that I can give you is the way this has worked in other drainage districts we've done is we've done the full plans, we do the full assessment based on benefit, and each landowner gets assessed a certain amount, And then, Scott, we've been giving the landowners an option of spreading that out up to 20 years. Is that what we've done?
Yes, the code says you can select a period of between 10 and 20 years. That's up to the first.
Now, every landowner can pay for it up front if they want, or it can get spread out over time, but it would stay with the ground. Right, so if you go to sell it, that assessment will come as it comes as part of your tax bill every year, right?
It's a separate bill, but it's due with your regular property taxes.
Yep. Okay, other comments? All right, Drainage District Trustees. Let's see. So that's questions, comments, concerns. So we need to accept the engineer's report. And it's accept the amended report, right?
Yes.
Do I have a motion to accept? That's not taking act. That's not suggesting that we're doing anything. We're just accepting the amended engineering report.
We received it.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is second. Further discussion on accepting the engineer's report.
None.
Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consider approval of repairs or improvements to Grant 5 as outlined in the report or as amended. By the trustees, and I'm going to include the idea of annexation and preliminary reclassification in this, trustees. What is your appetite for this?
I would move that we direct the engineer to begin the annexation process and create the preliminary classification and then bring it back to us, at which time we will schedule a continuation of this hearing. What did I leave out?
So I think it would be a new hearing, and
sorry?
Do you want the engineer to go to work on the full design?
Yes, and to go to work on the full design for the proposed West Main tile.
So, Scott, can you read back what that motion is?
Good luck.
Or we can recreate it. Yeah, we can recreate it. I want to make sure that everybody's clear before we do anything.
Yeah, the gist of it is to direct the engineer to initiate the annexation.
And this is on all the properties
yes.
benefited, potentially benefited.
Yes.
Right.
Begin the preliminary reclassification for those areas, well, for the district as a whole, I imagine.
It would have to be the district as a whole.
And to initiate design plans and specifications and bid specifications for the West Main Improvement Project.
Correct.
Okay.
Good job. Second.
Motion and a second. This one I'm going to open up to you guys before we vote, before we finish our conversation. Comments, questions, concerns on what's just been moved. Yes, sir.
Not at this time.
Well,
so this would all, from this point on, all of this would benefit those west properties, and it may not be just the annex properties. There may be some, I'm not sure where the line falls, there may be some existing properties in Grant 5 that benefit from this.
Yeah.
There is part but, of the report and annexation and, of course, reclassification.
Right.
Everybody shares in that cost.
Because the entire district would have to be reclassified
right.
if we change the district boundaries.
Right. That answer, Rick couldn't answer this the other day, just so everybody knows we're all in part of this. Like all your fees you've got today, you know, we're going to be assessed that as five, and nothing gets done.
Yes.
Because, so if you don't annex it, or if you do annex it, they need to share in these costs. It shouldn't be five. Is that, will that be spread over 15,000 or whatever?
It'll be spread over the whole drainage area, including the annex.
Is that figured on percent of benefit also or not?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I'm hearing. You're questioning the engineering cost to do this, correct?
Yeah. It's
okay.
$150,000. We don't want it in Grant 5 because we incurred all this cost because of the problem that's occurring outside of Grant 5.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
We'll share. Those
right.
in Grant 5 will share in that cost.
Everything that's been done to this point is all of Grant 5, which would include the newly annexed properties. but everybody would share in that. And then any work that's done, once it's reclassified, any work that's done specifically on this western this west tile outlet would go only to those people benefiting, those landowners benefiting from that.
Yes.
Is that clear? Okay. Any other questions or comments before the trustees take action?
Anybody?
That, hey, now's your chance.
When they say the classification, all right, so we're at the very bottom end of
right.
the thing. I mean, we could potentially see some costs out of this question. That is the only thing we can do, right? How do you classify
your
water out of
your cost
area? Is that doable?
You will not bear any cost of a West Main tile if you're in that lower portion.
I want that noted because you're taking water out of the burden of us.
Right.
There is
there is, but that's a so when we right now the way Grant 5 is set up, every single person in Grant 5 or every single landowner pays for anything that's done in Grant 5 anywhere. And once we get the reclassification done, the beauty for somebody down at the bottom of the entire drainage district is you will only pay for those things that impact your water. So if your water doesn't flow through, and Kent, you help me if I'm missing this, but it's all based on what parts of the drainage district your water touches, and you pay for that portion.
So it's our water, not necessarily the water that's coming through.
Okay. Correct. I think he's asking if the water, it originates on your land, correct? Mm-hmm. Not anything that's already coming from.
No.
From
no, you.
No, that's not what you're asking. Okay.
He. Where are you located? Grant 5 clean right now. You're going to, because your land adjoins the drainage just like ours, you're going to pay 3 to 4 times the amount that somebody that's a mile away that waters drains first.
That's no question, but that's if you do the cleaning. When he asked the question if he was going to pay for the improvement to the West Main. Yeah, that's at the head. That's at the mouth. No question about it. But not if we do a project specific to the West Main. Then it would be confined to just the landowners in the West Main. Everything that's been done to this point, think of it as happening at the outlet at the very bottom of the drainage district. It applies to everybody all the way up, right? For the West Main, when we get there, if we're doing work that is specific to the West Main, it will only apply to those people that benefit from the West Main directly, not that your flow reduces.
But, like our Jay Gardner's work, next to the drainage ditch, that 1 acre might get assessed $100.
Mm-hmm.
The land in the city in the day that's 2 miles away draining in, they're going to pay $25 for that same acre.
But I went through this.
But that's how it is. That's how it is.
But there's other factors. Yeah. When it was set up, you are benefiting because your elevation problem is lower. So before that ditch went in,
went in.
See.
Yeah, so this is a fascinating conversation, but it doesn't have anything to do with where we are tonight. Anything else based on where the truck? Mike, I thought I saw you with your hand up.
Good.
Okay. All right. Anything else we need to talk about on what's being proposed tonight? And this is all that's being proposed tonight, unless somebody wants to make another motion.
Can you read back the motion?
Yeah. Scott, you want to do it again?
I've almost got it written now.
Okay. Let him read the motion. We get it. Then we move.
So the motion that Loris made was to direct the engineer to initiate the annexation process for all the areas proposed for annexation. And start a preliminary reclassification of the entire district based on the district with the annexed areas, and to initiate design plans and specifications and prepare bid documents for the West Main tile improvements only.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
One clarification here. So
sure. You good?
The annexation through the whole district, I understand. The preliminary reclassification also would be for the whole district, would be for West Main, for an East Main tile,
yes,
and open ditch as they exist today.
As they exist today.
I believe it has to be that way. I mean, if we annex land, we have to reclassify
Right, and then if we come back and we propose changes in the future, we're going to have to recognize those changes. But it would be as the district exists today, but we're going to get the sub-districts in where people are only paying for the parts that benefit them.
Right. So part of that reclassification.
Proposed planned West Main time.
Correct.
Part of that reclassification would be splitting the existing Grant 5 with the annexation into sub-districts.
Right.
Which kind of addresses the Shulman's concern about what he pays for.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward, you'd only pay for work done to the open ditch. If you lived downstream, you wouldn't pay for anything done to the tiles north of Lincoln Way.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
I think I've given the second, haven't I?
Okay. Yep, you've given the second. Any further discussion?
None.
Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. So we're going to move ahead on annexation. We're going to move ahead on reclassification of the entire, preliminary reclassification of the entire district. We're going to move ahead on Kent final design on the west. You're going to work with the city of Ames and any interested landowners out there on coming back to us with a solid design. And we'll go for, and we'll, this, that requires another public, all this requires public hearings. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Decreasing the flows, that's significant. So those are some of the problems. I am hesitant to recommend a dual wall plastic type. Also, it requires, in my opinion, requires a video of the interior of that plastic pipe after installation. So you need additional access ports every 400 to 600 feet for the equipment to get in there.
Did we vote?
We're good. We did.
Okay.
You guys still got a big job yet to go, but this is a nice down payment.
Yeah.
Scott, anything further for us tonight? Kent, anything further for us tonight? Ethan, anything further for us tonight? I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
Darren, how's your ribs?
Poor guy. I saw you standing today.
Oh, my God.